Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition. The toll-free line, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and it is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's exciting to be back with you guys today as we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we talk about Sue, we talk about every single day.
Why?
Because people need to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. Interesting, Matthew 16 is one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. It's a story that takes place in Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, we're going to be in Caesarea Philippi next year on our journey to Israel. We're going to see where the Jordan River begins, and we're going to kayak down that river. That's going to be a great adventure. But this is a very significant place, a very significant place in the ministry of Jesus. And really, the disciples, it's a turning point for them. So there's great buzz going around Israel about Jesus, lots of questions. Who is he? Could he be the Messiah? Is he a prophet? Who in the world is this Jesus? So he's with his disciples, and he asks the question, what are people saying? And so his disciples jumped in. Some are saying you're Elijah. Some are saying you're this or that or the other. And then he turns the question on them, and he says, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and delivered the answer with just utmost confidence. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus said, this is great, Peter, and I understand this hasn't just come to you through human reason or logic, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And that's the way we receive all truth, supernatural truth, by revelation. It's not something that we can discern through human reason and logic. It has to be revealed to us by the very Spirit of God. Well, God the Father had revealed this to Peter. And then Jesus says, okay, now I'm going to tell you exactly what my mission and my ministry is all about. I'm going to tell you what's up ahead for me. Now, up until this point, Jesus had spoken in parables. Everybody had a hard time trying to figure out what in the world he's talking about. Now, Jesus decides to speak in plain language. And so in verse 21 of chapter 16, he says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Now, who in their right mind rebukes the Lord Jesus?
Peter.
Well, I guess it's Peter. He's the one that does that. But he hears something that is very perplexing to him and to all the disciples. As a matter of fact, in chapter 17, verse 22, as they were gathering, this was his disciples in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered in the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were greatly distressed. So this whole information, this plain language that Jesus was giving them, stopped them dead in their tracks. They didn't understand. Now, here's what I think was going on with the disciples. They heard the part about Jesus being delivered over into the hands of men, suffering and being killed. And I think that's where their listening stopped. They didn't get the rest of the story. And on the third day, he will be raised. Now, we see this in all of our lives. When life throws us all kinds of bad situations, adverse circumstances, all we can see is the adverse circumstances, and we forget the rest of the story. We forget that our life is built upon the truth of resurrection, that within any circumstance, no matter how dark, how bleak, how terrible it seems to be, with Christ there's always hope. And yet the disciples didn't get that. They did not get it. And when the disciples went to that garden and saw the empty tomb, they weren't thinking resurrection. They were thinking the worst. Somebody has stolen the body. Where could he be, and who would do such a thing? They hadn't quite figured out the rest of the story, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I know, Richard and Bob, there are many people out there who are in some very dire straits as far as their circumstances are concerned. And all they're seeing right now are those circumstances. Mm-hmm. And they're just wondering, is there a way out? Well, remember these disciples and remember the plain language of Jesus, that even in the worst, death, being killed, there's still a rest of the story. And that rest of the story is resurrection. For you, where you are right now, if your situation looks bleak, if it looks dark, there is a rest of the story for you. And that rest of the story is bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So if you're listening, you seem like you're in a helpless and hopeless situation, I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of faith, and let him show you the rest of the story. Look to him and watch him work things together for good, just as he's promised.
Absolutely. Well, that is Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. If it's roughly 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast. Otherwise, you can still call that same number, 844-322-2742, because we would love to address your question here at Basic Gospel. In the meantime, we have a free copy of an excellent little booklet for you. It's called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. Its theme is that to experience the abundance of your life in Christ, you must first rest and the finality of his work on your behalf. Your free copy awaits, and you'll find it on the website at basicgospel.net, or you can request your copy by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, or at basicgospel.net. We encourage you to pick it up. It will make a huge difference because, of course, forgiveness is the key to the door of life. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk to our friend Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. My question is about 1 Corinthians 7 and how Paul says there that married people have their interests divided between pleasing their spouse and pleasing God. But you would think that pleasing your spouse is pleasing God. I mean, I get that you're going to have less free time if you're married and you're going to have to do more chores and stuff, but I would think that even doing little things like that would be pleasing to God. So why does Paul seem to be putting them as two separate things?
Well, here's how the ESV puts that. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about the worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided attention to the Lord. So he's talking about the fact of marriage, that you, the two of you, become one, and that you're going to live life together as one. And there are some that, you know, had found themselves that were single, and their attention could be totally on the Lord Jesus. Now, what I want to say about this, Chris, is that throughout the Bible, we see that marriage is a good thing. We see that from the very beginning. God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so he prepared for him a helpmate, a helper. Someone that could come alongside of him, someone that could be joined to him, and that the two of them could do life together. And as Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 5, that relationship really is reflective of Christ's great love for the church. So marriage is a very good thing. Even I think it's the book of Proverbs says that he who finds a wife has found a good thing. So Paul is not negating the wonders and joy and purpose of marriage at all. He's just talking about the fact that that a person should remain as he is. Now, concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. So that's the context of this this further discussion down several verses later. So there was a distress that was going on, and Paul was saying, just given those current circumstances, if you are single, don't seek a wife. Remain in that situation. Why? Because in that distress, your attention can be solely on the Lord. And I think that's all he's saying. Richard, any thoughts? Yeah, I
mean, you got to realize that in the Roman Empire in those days, in the first century, marriage was awful. It was a train wreck. And maybe the only place that came close to Rome itself in terms of how bad marriages were was Corinth. I mean, the kind of paganism and degradation that was regularly practiced among married couples, let alone single people, just destroyed everything. And so Paul is kind of like going back to first principles here and saying, "What time out. You start with the spiritual. Start with the things of God, just like we got through teaching. You start with the things of God. Make sure that your sense of identity and purpose and everything is defined by your relationship with Jesus, and then see where marriage takes you, as opposed to, you know, marrying for money, marrying for political position, marrying for just pure lust or whatever it was. And then, you know, what one of the things common in Rome in those days was you married for children, and then the man ran around and had sex with whomever he could find. And that's no statement of what marriage is intended to be. And so Paul is trying to bring them around, show them how to repent of the old way of thinking and begin thinking in a new positive, blessed way.
Yeah, and to please, that's one of the questions there. How do we please the Lord? How do we please our mates? As far as being pleasing to the Lord, we're pleasing to the Lord as we walk by faith. Mm-hmm. We're pleasing to the Lord because we're children of God. We have received His Son. We have believed on the one whom He sent. So we're pleasing to the Lord, and as we live by faith in who He is and what He's accomplishing through us, then that becomes a pleasing lifestyle to the Lord. Why? Yeah. We're called to walk by faith. So we can do that whether we're married or whether mm-hmm. we're single. And I think he's just saying here, given the current situation, the current distress that was happening there, just remain as you are.
Okay, because I became a Christian when I was single, and Paul's advice seems to be to stay single. But it would seem to me that if you find someone who's interested in pleasing God, then a marriage with that person would also be pleasing to God.
You bet it would. And that's why I started with, in the beginning, God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. That's the way he established mankind as far as creation was mm-hmm. concerned. So if you find a wife, if there's somebody that comes along and you build a friendship with her and you start growing together with her in y'all's relationship with the Lord, and that leads to marriage, this covenant of marriage, that's a great thing. And within that marriage, you're going to show forth to the world what Christ's love is for the church. So there's an amazing purpose that God has just beyond the two of you. So, yes, if you find a wife, then that is a good thing. And in marriage, the two of you will be pleasing to the Lord.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Chris. Well, we always appreciate your call.
Thank you so much for everything you guys do.
Well, we appreciate that, Chris, and always love hearing from you and your great questions.
Yeah.
Thanks, call
Chris.
Again, okay?
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, if it's about 14 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. The lines are open again at 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen right now.
Hi. I was listening to somebody that was asking about committing suicide, and I was struggling with that yesterday, and I struggle with depression, and I'm on medication, working on getting off the medication. So my question is, if you're safe, why do I still struggle with those thoughts? And my cousin committed suicide, and so I wonder sometimes, because of the Catholic faith, if he's in heaven, or how do I know if he's in heaven? Thank you.
Well, that's just a sad,
yes,
sad call, and our hearts go out to you that your husband committed suicide. I know that was painful for you to experience and to grieve through that, and just all the questions why, and I'm sure you felt just this deep sense of rejection in your own heart and soul as a result of that. So our hearts go out to you, and we certainly hear that sadness inside of you. So we appreciate you calling. You know, depression is a huge thing.
It
I was
does.
Reading some statistics here recently. Over 19 million Americans suffer from some form of depression, whether it's a mild depression or a severe depression, and all on that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And no one really knows the causes. I looked up something that says, you know, there's no real test that you can take to determine if you're a depressed person. Usually they make a diagnosis. A physician is going to make a diagnosis of depression if you admit to certain symptoms. If you are having trouble sleeping, you know, your energy is low, you know, loss of sex drive, just a sadness, an overall sadness, a down spirit, those sort of things. And if you've had those symptoms for more than 2 weeks, they're going to diagnose you as clinically depressed. And what we have to understand about depression is that, you know, we're a body, we're a soul, and we're a spirit. And that's who we are as whole human beings. And if we're emotionally distressed, if we feel guilty, burdened down with guilt, that's going to affect us bodily, and that's going to affect our overall emotional well-being, and that can lead to depression. If we're living life with unrealistic expectations or misplaced dependencies, and those things that we're depending upon just continue to let us down, then we're going to slip down into this state of disappointment, continual disappointment, that can lead to fear and anger, which can become self-pity. And that's a recipe for depression. And so there's always the question, how do we get out of it? Well, there's talk therapy. You can sit down with somebody and kind of talk through those issues. That's been shown to be helpful. Medications that are being prescribed, no one knows if those are going to work or not. They can be helpful on a temporary basis. That's what the medical world is going to offer you, as some type of medication treatment, drug treatment. But ultimately, it's going to get down to the truth, coming to grips with truth and what Christ Jesus has accomplished for you. And that's where you ultimately need to get, to realize that Jesus Christ has taken your sins away, and in so doing has removed the stain of guilt from you. And as you start to believe that, I mean, genuinely believe that from the depths of your heart, then you're going to see whatever guilt you may be carrying start to lift. And that's just going to change your overall emotional well-being. So it's really learning how to walk by faith. You're obviously under medical care. You're being treated with medicines. I hear you say that that's your desire to get off those. Mm-hmm. You know, you're only going to do that under the care of your physician. But in the meantime, you need to start learning what is true. What has Christ done for you? Who is Jesus? Can you trust him? Just as Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? He's asking that of you. Who do you say that Jesus is? Because if you believe that he's God, then you have somebody that you can turn to, somebody that you can depend upon that's bigger than you, that's bigger than your problem. And you have somebody that you can depend upon who actually loves you and cares for you. And as you start growing in that understanding of who he is and of his great love for you and start walking by faith in that, then you're going to see some things start to change. But it's a process. It's not a magic wand. It's not an overnight cure. So it's coming to grips with truth. Now, as far as your husband, you know, I don't know what his relationship with the Lord was. But here's what's true. Anyone who comes to Christ by faith is saved, and Christ saves them completely and comes to live inside of them so that when they take their last breath, however that last breath comes, they're absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yeah.
So if your husband was in Christ, and I don't know that, then
but
you can,
God does.
But God does.
Trust him.
And you can have some confidence that he is with the Lord. But we just don't know. So we'll just give you that bit of hope, that bit of an encouragement. And we certainly have some resources that we would love to put in your hands. Richard and I did a series called The Breakout. It's a look at how we get into emotional pickles, so to speak,
yeah.
and how depression can come about.
And then how to get out of it.
That's exactly yeah. right. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you are immune from bad thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God has given you his spirit, to renew your mind. Why? Your mind needs to be renewed. We can still have some of the same old stinking thinking that we used to have. We can still react and respond to life events as if we weren't saved. And that can just compound those emotional issues for us. So we need the Spirit of God to renew our minds, to teach us truth. So if you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And the Spirit of God will take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to you. So begin by walking by faith right there. And the first thing he wants to teach you to renew your mind on is the fact that your sins have been forgiven. If you will start right there, I guarantee you the love of God will start pushing out that fear, and you will start seeing changes in your whole demeanor as a person as you grow in your understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus.
We sincerely love hearing from you, our listeners, and are very, very privileged to be here every day to address the situations and circumstances that come into your life. So if you have a question, drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll try to get to it as quickly as possible because we know that there are needs out there, and that's why we're here, to address those needs and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, friends, that we're here every day to bring this good news to you, and what a privilege God has given us to proclaim the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ every day on these airwaves and online. And the many of you who support this message we bring to you every day have had a part in that. If you haven't supported Basic Gospel in the past, we'd love for you to partner with us right now. It's a great opportunity to make your income, make your finances available to the work of the Lord. You can see all the ways to donate when you visit our website, basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you give this month, we'll send you a copy of The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. It's a wonderful resource for you. A reminder also that if you have a question, as I said, between now and our next live broadcast, you can use that 24-hour listener line, 844-322-2742, to record your question in your own voice, and we'll talk about it on the air. We have a question on the line with Supreme right now that we will get to tomorrow at this very your very same time. So you give us your question, and we'll be glad to answer it. So now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.